Welcome to The Mother-Daughter Journey, a podcast for women working through the tenuous transition of a maturing mother-daughter relationship. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Kelly. We know firsthand that the mother-daughter relationship is one of the most fabulous,
yet frustrating,
relationships you are ever going to have. Even so, we're best friends, business partners, and of course, mother and daughter.
So join us as we share our ongoing journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mother-Daughter Journey.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
Today's episode is going to be a bit of a piggyback off of what we talked about last week. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I would recommend doing that first. It's not a total prerequisite, but, you know, I say do it.
Exactly.
So with that being said, quick little overview. Last week, we talked about high school, and not just high school, but how it starts in high school, the traditional path that we are expecting a majority of our teens and young adolescents to take.
Yeah, and we talked about it through the lens, well, through our lens, really, of
yes.
us trying to stick to that path, or we, you know, sticking the course regardless right. of what was happening else in our life.
And yeah, regardless of whether that course was the correct one for us or not.
Right. And looking at the whys and the hows that we couldn't allow ourselves to look at then.
Right. So.
There's our recap.
There's our quick little recap. But again, I say, go listen to the other episode. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. So this week we want to actually look at other avenues, other approaches, even if it is still the normal, I say, or traditional approach of going through high school and getting through that degree, even if that's the route that after you've looked at this whole thing that you take, there are ways to minimize the stress of it by making it not so
grandiose.
No, not grandiose, but like critical, right? Like
it's just like, life after all.
It's not critical. We're not talking critical condition. If somebody gets a C,
right.
graduates, you know, towards the bottom of their class, like all of these things, this isn't the ICU.
Right. And that's what it comes down to when we're, keep that in mind, folks, while we're having this conversation, is that we're not saying, like, obviously public high school's great for those that it's great for, and it's a necessity, and it
has a purpose.
Where yeah. I'm super grateful that we live in a place where we have the opportunity for it.
Absolutely.
Right. And all of those things, same thing with universities, like all of it. But just because we have the opportunity, I think this is a piece of the why that we're going to kind of look at. But
yes.
just because we have the opportunity doesn't mean it's the right opportunity for everybody.
Right. It's right? this whole snowflake thing that we talk about, which I know people kind of giggle when we talk snowflakes, but we are all individuals with different perceptions, different experiences.
Different needs.
And one of the like negative thinking traps that we all fall into is the all or nothing trap, right?
Yes.
You and I were talking about these negative traps that you and I have looked at.
Oh, yes.
Going through and learning how to navigate them. One of them is the all or nothing thinking.
That was a big one for us especially. And that's really kind of what we're going to look at this week and next week is those negative thinking traps and how they apply to big things like this.
Yes. But because we're talking about the mother-daughter relationship and it is so prevalent right now where school is such a stressor or the traditional paths or are
right.
such a stressor that concentrating on them as an all or nothing is hindering the progression of the relationship and the progression of each other's own well-being.
Right.
Right. So that's what we're talking about here. We are talking about frontline, almost, like there is actual some sort of turmoil around the traditional path.
Yes, yes, it is turmoil. I think that's, yeah, that's the right word for it.
Right. Okay, so how do we do this? When you're going through this and your thought is, if we just get this one thing done, if we achieve this one thing, how do you start looking at it in a different way when it is a stressor, right? It is creating turmoil to the point of it's detrimental to well-beings.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not talking just the usual because it, I mean, high school, work.
Right.
Life has stress. Right. There's good stress and bad stress. And then there's really bad stress. And that's what we're talking about, the turmoil.
Yes. Okay. So that being said, how does a parent, for instance, or the child in that environment, how do we take the pressure off of that achievement or that, you know, what if this doesn't happen?
Well, it starts with you. Just like everything we talk about, pretty much.
Exactly.
But really, it does. And it starts with looking at those achievements, those expected achievements that you have for your child or for yourself, and asking why.
Right.
What is the reason I am so set on this happening for my child, on my child doing this, or for me doing this? Why?
Why? What is so important about it? Write them down.
Because it's not just one.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, it's like, pretend you're a two-year-old. Why? Why?
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
Why? Just keep asking why. Because the more you ask, the deeper you go, that's eventually you will find the true why, and that's where things start to shift.
And that's where the healing, right?
There is
something there that is causing you to only see one path forward, right? The all or nothing.
Right.
And so why?
Where is that all or nothing thinking stemming from?
Right.
Is it just because that's the path and we've never questioned it and that's society, the societal norm, right? Is it because you truly believe that your child won't be successful or happy or any, you know, whatever the term may be, if they don't follow this path? Is it because...
And then
is there fear
challenge you to say, challenge you to ask yourself if that is the answer, that you fear they won't be successful or their life will be too difficult, or...
Why?
Why? Why? Where is it coming from? Is that something that was passed down to you? Like, where is that fear coming from? And is it actually valid?
Right. Where is something that one of my... I've had a few therapists in the past, right?
Yes.
And my favorite, her question to me at least once a session was, where is the evidence to support that which you believe to be true?
Exactly. And so if you're saying we have to follow this one path because my child will negatively suffer.
Right.
In the future, if we don't go this one path, ask yourself that question. Where is the evidence to support that?
Are we catastrophizing, which is another one of those, right, negative thinking patterns that we as humans fall prey to? Are we just assuming and catastrophizing, meaning, okay, the worst is going to happen, and there's absolutely no way, okay, all or nothing, if my child doesn't graduate with at least a 3.5 GPA or whatever it may be, the thing is
that you...
Well, that's what it was for us. So yes. that's the example I'm using.
I was hard to please.
Well, you know,
but
they
anyway.
All can be at times, but whatever.
true. So anyway, we're just saying take a look at that, right? We have found that looking at the feelings, looking at the thought patterns and challenging them is what helped us navigate new ways.
Absolutely. And it's what... helped us. I mean, it's the questioning. It's not easy work.
No.
Right? You know, I mean,
work.
It's work. We know how exhausting it is when the toddler asks us why over and over, and we have to keep, you know, coming up with answers and thinking more deeply on the subject.
Right.
Right? It's exhausting work, but it's the work that makes all the difference. We were just talking about it before we started recording, how do we just kind of, you know, wake up one day and decide that, or not decide, but just know that whatever happens, whichever path we take, it's okay. And I mean, the truth is we didn't. We asked ourselves why over and over again for years after we found it. And then we would find an answer, we thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would, you know, follow that answer. And then we'd come to another hurdle or divot or whatever metaphor you want to use.
Right.
And we'd have to ask all over again, why?
Yeah.
And question our beliefs.
Exactly. And one of the things that it came down to was you talked about catastrophizing the future.
That's such a fun word. Catastrophizing. Sorry.
But what one of the things it comes down to is, yes, you have to keep a bit of an eye on the future, but it's living in the day to day.
Right.
Right. It's living with what's happening right now, right here in front of you, and facing and looking at those things. So for me to go back and look at the whys of high school, like I can now, to kind of educate myself and advise myself for my work moving forward.
Right.
But I can't live in the, ooh, I should haves, right? Because
should is another one.
Well, because I'm navigating the today and how I can help and learn and serve today. And so that's also part of it, is trying to be very like, hey, this is the problem I'm facing today. We're talking triage here. We're talking, you know, critical trauma or turmoil.
Right.
This is a problem I have.
Getting to school every day requires more effort than, you know, I don't even know, like,
we don't really have to explain it, because if you're going through it, you know.
That's true. We did talk about it last week.
Right? If this is a recurring, like, every single day, oh my goodness, I can't believe. It's not just, you know, so Susie doesn't want to get out of bed. We're worried here.
Yes.
Right?
There's a problem.
There's a problem. And so looking at the day-to-day and being with that problem and looking at it without the future catastrophizing.
Right.
We're having so much fun with that word.
Can you blame us?
Is key. It really was and is super helpful to navigating the what is.
Right. The what is. I love that. Instead of the what ifs.
Exactly.
Navigate the what is and not the what ifs.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Look at you, huh?
Look at you.
So
this is why we make a great team.
Exactly. So in the case of the high school, because that's what we keep going back to. We've looked at it and now we know why it's so important, right? Why are we blowing it up? Blowing it up. I don't know if that's the word I want to use, but I used it. So,
well, first, let's why we keep going back to it. And we keep going back to it because, one, obviously, we're the mother-daughter journey.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And that is a big piece of the maturing mother-daughter relationship.
I mean, high school is middle school to high school, right? This is where a lot of the problems start.
And exactly. That's where, because that's where the, I mean, that's, we're growing as humans, right?
Well, and
that's
we've taken all of our, you know, from the years before that, that's kind of where our beliefs and our perceptions and all of that has happened. And now we're here with our different perceptions, our different experiences from our mom and our brothers and our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an issue.
And it's when where the shift starts to happen, where the challenge in our previous beliefs start to happen. It's
where the modeling of behavior and dealing with emotions and problems really start, and challenges really starts to take a play. It's the where the do as I say, not as I do kind of mentality starts to come into play a little bit too, I think, which also complicates it.
Right. And then there's also the level of, we forget that that is a time for growth and learning, right? There is, we have to some degree, because they look like mini adults.
Well,
right. It's what we talked about with our friend the other day.
We did.
Right? Because they, especially as they start to get older, high school, they look like mini adults. So we come under the assumption that they will act like mini adults, but our brains aren't fully formed until at least like mid-20s, 26 years old, I would say. Which means our ability to reason and work through our emotions aren't at their best, at their max, at the...
Well, they're not fully formed.
But
at the same token...
But this is, that is the time that has the biggest impression.
Yes. Well, it's not fully formed, but we expect them to make decisions, or we want them to make decisions as if they are, right? We're planning for college. We're planning the rest of your life.
Yeah.
We're putting much...
We're asking 18-year-olds to vote for the president. Yes. I mean, come on.
I mean, we're putting so much pressure and expectation.
Right. Right. We're asking them to figure out their entire life, basically. I mean, I remember gosh, for me, I feel like the pressure started early sophomore year of high school when I was.
Yes. Oh,
of course. I was 15 years old. Right? And it was like, well, you need to think about what you want to do and you need to make sure you get good grades and you have to plan and get yourself set up for, yeah. Right? We're asking 15-year-olds to take all of this and it's just.
Yes, it is.
Why?
Right.
Why?
And so that's the big takeaway from this episode, really, is we have to look at it. It starts with you looking at your whys. Are they your whys? Are they your expectations? Are they your fears? Are they your dreams? Mm-hmm. Or are they theirs? Are they your mother's? Yeah. Are they your neighbor's? Right? Well, whose why is it that it is so important? Now, there's a lot of reasons besides just what you want, right? We all know you can't just have what you want. You might be working two jobs. You might not have any other options but that, you know, the public school or the whatever path you're on right now, it may look to you like there are no other options. Mm-hmm. And that may be the reality, right? For us back then, it wasn't the reality. I could have made different decisions, but I didn't look at the whys.
We didn't look at the whys, and so we didn't look at the other options.
But if there is the reality and we have to keep forging forward, so still look at the why. Okay, now I know I've looked at the why and we have to keep going this way. But can we approach it within our household differently, right? Without the major importance on...
Right.
Or the pressure that comes with it. Okay, we do have to go to school every day. This is what works for our family financially and budget-wise. And mom and dad, we have no way around it. So you've sat and you've looked at it with your child and you've looked at all the angles to try to make it work in a different way. You've examined it all and you've come back to this is the path we need to take. Well, now we need to navigate that system. For you, when we did come back to it and said, this is a path that we're going to take.
Like right, not because it wasn't need. It was we're going to.
We're going to. You, like, we discussed last week the feelings of why we did what we did, right?
Correct. Yep.
But we didn't leave it as an absolute traditional path. It was discussed with the principal and with the teachers that you were going through this anxiety, that it was the priority, even if you were in school. If
yes, my mental health and well-being then became the priority over school.
Over
performance.
Over performance, right? You getting into the class and graduating was the focus with improving your mental health. Mm-hmm. So if you were sitting in a classroom where you were having major anxiety and you pulled out Play-Doh to fidget with in your hands, like that was to be ignored by the teacher, right? That was, you weren't doodling, you weren't being disrespectful.
Doodling is, honestly.
I'm just saying, you weren't trying to be disrespectful, you weren't trying not to pay attention, you were trying to not hyperventilate and throw up.
Correct.
Right? And so you taking that and giving...
Can I use this as a moment to kind of normalize that too?
Absolutely.
Friends, like, I mean, doodling doesn't mean you're not paying attention or being disrespectful. It could just mean that you need your brain to be distracted by something to pay attention to something else. Because that's how I was. Anyway, let's normalize that we all learn differently. We all function differently. And some of us have brains that are all over the place and need little minor distractions so that we can fully stay in the moment. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. And boom. With that, let's drop a little bit of a mic. No. What we're saying, though, is even the traditional path isn't traditional.
Right. It looks different for everybody.
It looks different for every single person.
And that's okay.
Exactly. So normalize, as Abigail's saying, normalizing that so that we're not all expected, or our kids aren't all expected to come in, sit down, look the same, act the same, think the same.
Right.
And we label them based on how they can conform.
Labeling, that's another one.
Which is another negative thinking pattern.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that's really what we're trying to get you to think about here. We have all of this stuff going on in the world. every single day we're all bombarded by a million different emotions, different stimuli between the radio, the computer, the cyberbullying, the, you know, the news, the politics, right? The stimuli out there.
I love you.
Thank you.
You totally just showed your age.
Why?
Because when you started listing the distractions and you started with radio, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, whatever.
You didn't even say social media.
See how out of touch we are, friends?
Oh, dear God. We, no, not we.
I'm talking about our generation.
Oh, your generation. You know,
like, we are out of touch with our children just based, one of the things just based on the generational gap.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's like, just, I don't know how, if high schoolers, they might, but I don't know if high schoolers listen to radio anymore.
I mean,
Pandora, and Spotify.
And I feel like that's kind of radio.
It's streaming.
Okay, whatever. Tangent.
So there we are.
But you get the point.
I do.
Okay, good.
I do, yes.
Good. Because I feel like that tangent totally threw us off. But
what? No. We don't get thrown off by tangents.
So anyway, right. Keep asking the questions.
Circle back.
Right? Circle back to there is no traditional path. Right. Even if you are on what people would call the traditional trajectory, mm-hmm. where you're like college bound and I'm doing my community service and I'm involved in all of the things.
Oh, yeah. Right? About the community service.
Even if that is how your child is navigating and thriving and everything is, mm-hmm. there's things that they're going to face, regardless of what path they're going on. And so to get out of this traditional thinking of we all have to, again, dress, look, act, think the same.
Right.
We don't.
And if we don't and aren't able to, then there is something wrong
right.
with us.
Or that needs to be fixed.
Right. Or we need to do better.
Or, you know, I'm trying to think back to a college class that I took that can define this, right? It was called the Sociology of Deviance.
Okay.
And when you hear that word deviant, right, or deviance, you instantly think of super bad behavior.
Interesting, because I didn't.
You didn't? Well,
I thought of deviation, as in math, like okay. a deviation from the course.
Which is what I learned in that class, because my instant thought was a very naive, small-minded, okay, we're talking about deviant behavior,
okay, yeah.
right, in society. And there was a lot of questioning, a lot of why is this deviant behavior? Is mm-hmm. it because it's is actually deviant, or is it because it's, like you said, it's veering off the path of what's considered
the norm.
Standard
yeah,
deviant,
okay.
right? Is it? Are you falling within standard deviation of what society has prescribed as the norm?
You know, it's so funny. And this is, I mean, we're going all over the place, but, you know, welcome to the podcast, everybody. But it reminds me of this book. I think I mentioned it a couple episodes ago that I've been diving into, and it's called The Psychology of Evil.
Yes.
And you know, it's like, what is evil? Who says, and, you know, evil, the definition of evil changes when societal norms change.
Right.
And so, like, evil, you know, evil is a whole thing. But the definition of, you know, the correct path and the definition of what is right and the definition
well,
of
the
what,
label.
The label of what you should do changes when our society and our culture change, too.
Absolutely. Which, again, is another reason to circle back to what we were talking about right at the very beginning. It starts with you. It starts with you learning your normal, the world yeah. that you are navigating from your experiences and your perception, looking at it. Mm-hmm. Where did my beliefs come from? Why do I feel that way?
And where is the evidence to support that which I believe to be true?
Exactly. And now that you've looked at it, is there another path that would work for you as well as your child and the people in your sphere? Is there another path?
Yep.
If there isn't another path, how can we more gently navigate this one?
Yes. How can we navigate it in a way that suits us? Maybe we're expecting our child to swim in this path when what they need to do is skip.
Like, well, you know what I mean? Tread water, right? We're expecting them to place in the meet when really all they need to do is compete in it.
It's not even compete. See that? And that's the other thing.
Okay. Right? I know what you know what? It's so funny, folks, because I knew she was going to pick on that word, compete. But
compete.
Participate.
I mean,
right?
Participate. Well, obviously, I mean, we're humans, right? There's a natural level of competitiveness.
Of course.
Right? But when we consider everything a competition and we consider life a competition, we're always going to lose, which is why I don't like that word.
Okay. Participate.
Mm-hmm. Journey, travel, experience.
Yes.
That's it. Life is to be lived and experienced. It's not to be won. It's not for you to succeed at. It's not for you to, you know, I don't know. That's it. Live it.
At the end of the day, this is really just about getting you to look at your scenario,
mm-hmm.
your triggers, beliefs, like we talk, conversational baggage, right? Looking at those things and navigating a different path, because what you're doing right now, if you are relating to the every day is a struggle, every day is a
turmoil.
Right, turmoil.
That word, yeah.
Is it working?
Why?
And if it's not working, what changes can we make to make it work a little bit better? They don't have to be, I'm going to homeschool my child. Sometimes that is the answer.
It could be, right? But it doesn't have to be.
Sometimes the answer could just be, I'm going to have a conversation with my child's school, because their mental well-being and physical well-being is what takes precedence here. And so if they need to play with Play-Doh or, mm-hmm. you know, have that stress ball in their hand or doodle or get up and walk away and do a little bit of box breathing, then that's what they need to do.
Right. And then the next step is normalizing that in your sphere.
In your household.
In your household, in your sphere.
And helping yourself and your child realize that you can't control the opinions of everybody else in that school.
Right.
Right.
You can't normalize it everywhere.
But you can normalize it in your home and concentrate on that ripple first.
Right.
Yeah. So that was one of the ways that our journey, that's part of what we learned on our journey, is we had to define our way of living.
Right. And then we had to accept it and, I mean, I'm going to say it again, normalize the lack of normal.
Yeah. I think we can end it there.
I think so.
I feel like we kind of like did a whole lot of circling, but we always bring it back to the point.
Every good conversation has a lot of circling. That's all I'm saying. And I mean, we mentioned a lot of the negative thinking patterns.
Yes,
right? And how mm-hmm. they can stop you or kind of like trip you up when you're asking yourself these questions and when you're just, you know, doing the things. So next week, we're actually going to dive into that more, because another big piece of our journey was learning these negative thinking patterns.
And recognizing them.
Yeah, learning what they are, being able to recognize them in ourselves and then shift. Yeah, unlearn. Exactly. So that's next. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Exactly.
And as always, thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on our journey today. If you liked what you heard and are looking for more, make sure to leave us a review and subscribe to this podcast.
You can also follow us on social media, but for the most fun, go find us on TikTok at The Mother-Daughter Journey. See you next time.